Now we're holding on to Tesvov Amud Bey's 8 lines from the bottom. And we've been learning about cases where a person buys a field that was stolen. We had the case where he bought it and didn't know that it was stolen and finds it out only later when the original owner of the field comes to take it away from him. And we talked about yesterday, earlier on this Amud, about what happens if he does know that it was stolen and he bought it anyway. So obviously he's not buying it in order to hold on to it. He's buying, in effect, what he's doing is he's using this as a method to, in effect, he's using the money as a deposit or as a gift. That was the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether we consider the money as a deposit by the one who sold it to him or whether it's a gift to the one who sold it to him, and therefore whether he's entitled to it back. But in any case, obviously, he knows he's not keeping the field. So now, the Gemara says, now, what would happen if now the Gazlan went and actually bought the field from the original owner? Rashi explains that we're talking about where he knew that the last case that we were talking about, where he knew that it was stolen. So he bought it anyway. Now what happens is, if the Gazlan now goes, so in all the case we've been using the last few days with Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, Reuven was the Gazlan, Shimon was the one he sold it to, Levi was the one he stole it, that Reuven had stolen it from. So now the twist is, what happens if Reuven, having sold the field to Shimon, now goes and pays Levi for it? The question is, Mahu, what's the din? Do we say that now Reuven is entitled to it since it's his field, or is he doing it in order to confirm Shimon's ownership of it, so Levi doesn't take it away from Shimon, and therefore that Shimon would be entitled to keep it? In other words, if Reuven, having paid for it, now goes to Shimon and says, look, I paid for this field. I know I stole it in the first place, but now I paid Levi for it, so I want it back from you and I'll reimburse you your money. Does he have the right to do that? Or do we say that he bought it for the purpose of confirming Shimon's ownership to prevent Levi from taking it away from Shimon, and therefore that Shimon should keep it? So again, Rashi learns, and then the Ritva backs it up on the basis of the fact that we have it right after the previous case of Hikuba, that he knew that it was stolen to begin with. On the other hand, Tosfos says we're talking about the case where he didn't know about it. So again, you have a similar kind of thing. Can Reuven now say that I want the field since after all I paid for it? Or do we say that the purpose of doing that was in order to confirm Shimon's ownership of it rather than for him himself to get it? So that was Shmuel's question by Rav. Omalei, so Rav answers him, Ma mochalei rishon l'sheni. After all, what did the first one sell to the second one? When one person sells something to somebody else, implicitly he's selling him together with the field or whatever asset it is that he's selling him any other schus that would come with it. Meaning, in other words, that yes, since so we would say the Gazlan, when he buys the field, he is in fact doing it in order to, he's implicitly with that, he's selling the schus to the other one to keep the field. So therefore he would not have the right to tell Shimon, I want the field back now that I paid Levi for it and I'll reimburse you. Shimon would have the right to say, look, you know, when you bought it from Levi, that gave you a certain schus. Now in turn, when you sold it to me, that also, it means that you sold me that schus, namely that I have the right to keep the field and not to have to be forced to sell it to you. So my timer, why do we say that? And we're showing him talk about in detail what exactly the Gemara meant with its statement. After all, on the face of it, if it was stolen, then what do you mean? How is he zoicha in the first place? What do you mean? Kol schus shatav liyada. Yeah. So the Ritva gives a whole explanation that, look, the ma mochalei rishon l'sheni is not really so precise, because after all, we are talking about over here, he stole it in the first place. In fact, the Gemara is going to take up this question yet again. So he's going to take up the question yet again. You can talk about that. You can talk about the Ritva points out When you were so when he sold it, he intended to sell all the schoyas with it. But the fact is, at the time he sold it, it was stolen, and it was a davar shaloi bala olam. So he says that's in fact what the Gemara means by my taima. Why do we assume that now, when he's paying the money later on, that he means it in order for it to remain in the hands of the lekeach? Mazutra amar nichalai de la nikaya gazlon. So Mazutra says because Reuven doesn't want to in the future to be called a liar. Doesn't want to be called a thief. He knows that if he doesn't pay for it, and Levi ends up taking away the field from Shimon, then Shimon and everybody else are going to be calling him a thief. And he doesn't want that. He wants to preserve his reputation. Therefore, we can assume when he pays Levi for the field that he's doing it not just for himself to have another plot of land, but rather in order to take away the taint on himself of being a gan. Rav Ashi says a different reason. It's because he wants to keep his nemanus. He sold the field to Shimon, after all. So now he wants in the future that Shimon should be able to trust him and to know, like this, if he didn't pay for it, then Levi's going to end up taking away the field from Shimon, and Shimon will never trust Reuven again. He wants Shimon to be able to trust him, so therefore he goes and pays for the field in order to confirm Shimon's ownership of it. So again, like I said, the Ritva in particular, and then other Rishonim talk about some of the details behind this. Again, it's not Dava Shaloi Bala Olam, because we're talking about that now, when the Gazlan, having already stolen the field and now giving the money, he's giving the money, we can assume, in order to be Mezakeh to Shimon. So we're saying, according to Marzutras and Rav Ashi's respective reasons, because why he would be doing it, rather than just meaning to buy the field for himself, and then, in other words, be able to go to Shimon and say, look, I bought this field, so let me have it from you, and I'll reimburse you. So we're saying it's not like that. And there is also, we discussed in Baba Kama, and we're going to have later on in our Masechta as well, that when a seller is selling something, he has to know who he's selling it to. We had a case over there involving a shliach, where the seller is not actually sure whether he's selling to who he's selling to, and it's not valid. But over here, listen, Levi knows that Reuven stole the property from him. He also knows, based on the reasons that we're saying, that he's buying it on behalf of Shimon. So therefore, so that would be valid. So those are the two reasons. So the Gemara says, my benayu. So what's the practical difference between these two reasons? The answer is, ik benayu de mislekeach. What happens if in between, what happens if the lekeach of Shimon died? So after Reuven had paid Levi for the field, then Shimon died. So now can Reuven go to Shimon's children and take the field away and say, listen, I paid for it? So Rashi says we're talking about after Reuven had bought the property, after we had paid Levi for the property. Tosfos says, no, of course not. As soon as he bought it, then immediately Shimon is zeicher in it. So rather, Tosfos says it means that Shimon died before Reuven ever paid for it. So now the question would be, when Reuven bought it from Levi, when he paid Levi for it, Shimon was already dead. So what's the din now? So Manda Omar, according to Marzutra, that the reason is he doesn't want to be called a Gazlan. Well, nobody's going to call him a Gazlan. Shimon is dead, and there's nobody to say, there's nobody to call him a Gazlan. So therefore, we can assume in that case he would be buying it for himself. Whereas Rav Ashi, who says that he wants to be trustworthy in the future, fine, Shimon himself is dead, but he wants Shimon's children to be able to trust him in the future. So the Gemara asks why the same children who need to trust him can also be the ones who call him a Gazlan if it does get taken away from them. So what's the difference? And the children of the Lekeach might call him a Gazlan. So in that case, he'd have an incentive to go and pay Levi for the field, even if Shimon is dead, whether, as Rashi says, after he paid for it, or as Tosfos says, even before it, because not only he doesn't want to be called a gazlan, because he doesn't want to be called a gazlan, and he knows if the field is taken away from Shimon's children, they're also going to call him a gazlan. So there's still no nafkamina. So you're right, the Gemara says, Ela, it could be now to miss a gazlan. Rather, we're going to say the nafkamina would be if the gazlan died. Again, according to Rashi, we'd be talking about after he bought it, and that he bought it, and then before he had a chance to give it to Shimon, then he died. So now, again, his children, the Reuven's children, are coming to take the field. Can they or not? According to Tosfos, who said that we're talking about in the case, in the first case, that when the Gemara first tried, it was saying that Shimon had died before Reuven had bought it. Then over here, Tosfos says we'd have to be talking about that he was sick or he was gosis when he bought it, and then he died, shortly thereafter. So you'd have the same kind of nafkamina. According to the opinion that he doesn't want to be called a gazlan, well, Homisla, he's dead. So whatever people call him, whether Shimon or anybody else calls him a gazlan, he's not going to care. But according to the opinion that he wants people to be able to trust him, he himself is dead. But he also, you can say, he wants to at least bequeath a good name to his children. I forgot to miss, even though he's dead, he would still prefer that they continue to say he's a trustworthy person, even la'acha misa, and therefore that his children should be able to be trusted. So the Gemara says the same thing. Sof kodol b'nei gazlana. Again, what are you saying that if it's a matter of calling him a gazlan or not, that it doesn't matter whether he's dead? There is a difference, the same kind of way as he wants his children to be able to be considered trustworthy. He also wants that his children shouldn't be called children of a gazlan. So there's still no nafkamina between the two possibilities. So the Gemara says you're right. Ela ikabinayu diyava b'matana. Rather, the nafkamina would be if instead of selling the field to Shimon, if he gave it to Shimon as a gift. So now the question would be, whether he's gifting it to him, intending for him to keep it, or whether now that he paid Levi for it, maybe he's entitled to it back. According to Rav Ashi, who says that the reason is, in order for him to remain trustworthy, then even when it comes to a gift, he wants to keep his ne'emanus, because he would say that like this. In other words, he's giving the field to he's giving the field to Shimon as a gift. Now later on, though, he realizes, he knows to begin with, that if he doesn't do something about it, the field is going to be taken away from Shimon, and then Shimon is not going to trust him, because what do you mean, you gave me a field as a present, and here it turns out that it was stolen. Or even according to Rashi, we're talking about to begin with, Shimon knew that it was stolen, but still, whatever, he's not going to trust Reuven in the future. So the same kind of thing would apply to a gift, and therefore we would assume that that Reuven is spending money in order to buy the field from Levi, and therefore be able to confirm Shimon's ownership of it. As opposed to, if you say it's a matter of not calling him a gazlan, then Reuven can say, my gazlinim inach. After all, what did I steal from you? Because after all, you got it for free. Easy come, easy go. So you got it for free. Now it's getting taken away from you. So therefore, you should have no real complaint against me. In fact, Tosfos points out that, of course, when he sells it to him as well, he is going to be reimbursed. But still, as long as he doesn't reimburse him, still the other guy is going to call him a gazlan. So whereas with Matana, that whole thing is not relevant. So according to Marzutra's reason of Loinik Riyu Gazlana, then that whole consideration is not relevant. And therefore, according to Marzutra, in that case, then Reuven, having paid for the field, would be entitled to go over to Shimon and say, look, I know I gave you this field as a present, but now that I bought it, I want it for myself, because to begin with it was a stolen field, and you're going to call me a gazlan? Don't do that. Look, I mean, it's not like you paid money for it in the first place. You got it for free, so now you're losing it also for free, and no harm, no foul, basically. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Pshita. Let's continue with sub cases within this. Pshita. Now it would be obvious that Zabna, if after let's talk about now there are more people involved. If at, again we have to begin with, Reuven had stolen this field from Levi, and now he sold it to Shimon. And we said that, and now we said later on he went and paid Levi for it, and we were discussing that he may well be doing that in order to confirm Shimon's ownership of it. And so we said, in any case, when he sold it to Shimon, then that would be the case. But not, we said, when he gifted it to Shimon, then Mazutra and Rav Ashi would argue about what happens in that case. But now what happens is Zabna, so Rashi explains actually that we're talking about that before he paid the owner for it. So Rashi explained that the following scenarios are talking about before Reuven ever paid Levi. Now one of the following things happens. On the other hand, Agoris Hagra points out that the Rambam learns that we're talking about it was afterwards. Anyway, so Zabna, suppose that Reuven now went and sold that field to somebody else. So he went and sold it to Yehuda. So the order of events according to Rashi was as follows. Reuven had stolen the field. Reuven had stolen the field from Levi. He sold it to Shimon. Now, Rashi had learned before that we're talking about that this is Shimon knew to begin with that it was stolen. Now, before Reuven goes and pays Levi for it, he went and sold the same field to Yehuda. And now he went and paid Levi for it. So that would be Zabna, Ursa, or he bequeathed it to one of his children as a Yerusha, the Yahava Matana, or he gave it as a Matana to somebody else. Then obviously Lavla Ukme Karmel Kaboy, then obviously he's not planning to confirm Shimon's ownership of it. So therefore, after all, he sold it or bequeathed it or whatever to somebody else, and therefore he would have the right to say that, you know what, I wasn't doing this to begin with in order to confirm Shimon's ownership, but rather I want the field and I'm going to and I'll reimburse. So in those cases, obviously he's not doing it in order to confirm Shimon's ownership, otherwise he wouldn't have done any of those things. What about Nafla Yerusha? What about if in between the Gazlan Yarshin it? So say, for example, he had previously stolen the field from his father, and then before he got around to paying his father for it, his father died and he Yarshin it. So again, would we say that that's the equivalent of paying Levi for it? So no, we would say Yerusha Mamelahi. The fact is, he inherited it. It was an automatic thing. He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything in order to inherit it, and therefore, you can't say that he did anything in order to show that he wants to confirm Shimon's ownership of it. In fact, by the way, in the previous case over here, in the previous case where he sold it to somebody else, the Ramban actually says that actually what it means is, in the case where he sold it to somebody else, neither one would be acquiring it, because as far as the first one obviously was saying he doesn't care about his Nemonis, well, the second one as well, he doesn't care about his Nemonis and he doesn't care about being called a Gazlan, and therefore the Ramban learns that neither Lakeach would be Koina. Anyway, so now we're talking about something else. We're saying that, again, the scenario is Reuven had stolen it from Levi, where the twist is that Levi is his own father or any other person from whom he would inherit, his uncle, his son, if his son doesn't have any heirs of his own, whatever. The point is that, so now the question is, does the fact that that happened confirm Shimon's ownership of it? So we're saying that no, because since Yerusha happens by itself, Reuven didn't make any effort for that to happen, then we can't say that he did anything in order to demonstrate that Shimon owns the property and that he wants Shimon to trust him, etc. Rather, we say that Reuven is entitled to go over to Shimon and to say, now that I inherited the property, then I want it back and I'll reimburse you what you paid me for it. What about Govi Ihu Bechoyvan? What happens, another case, would be where Reuven collected it from for a debt of his. So in other words, what happens is, so Reuven had stolen the field from Levi. and sold it to Shimon. Now later on, or again, Rashi says all of this is talking about before he sold it to Shimon, but anyway. Rashi is learning the other way around, that that he sold it to Shimon and now he's going to Levi. Now he goes to Levi and he says, you know what, Levi, listen, you owe me money from a previous debt. And we're going to have to go to Beis Din, and I'm going to have to be collecting the debt from you. So I'm going to collect this field. So now the question is it that he's saying I want to collect? I'm collecting this field because previously having sold it to Shimon, he wants to confirm Shimon's ownership of it, or is it because he wants the field for himself and therefore he can tell Shimon I want it and then I'll reimburse him? So the Gemara says Chazina. We have to look at exactly what he does. If Levi has other properties, other fields that Reuven could take in satisfaction of his debt, the Omar, and he says hi, and he's Omar hi, but you know, and he says I want Davka this one, then we can assume, then we have very good reason to assume that he's doing it specifically in order to confirm the Lekeach's ownership of it. Because otherwise, in other words, since given that Levi has lots of other fields, why would he Davka pick this one and say that? Why would he Davka pick this one and say that I want this one to be my my vehicle for repayment when he could just as well have done any of the other ones? So that would be a strong reason to say that he's actually doing it in order to confirm Shimon's owner, in order to confirm Shimon as the owner of the field. The Eloi, and if not, if Levi has only the one property, Zuzi or Debor Yafrui, then we can assume it's just he wants to collect his debt and nothing to do with Shimon, and therefore we can assume that when he got the property in this case in payment of his debt, then he wants to keep it for himself. What about another case? Yave Niele Matona. What happens if Levi gifted the field to Reuven? So now we have Reuven had stolen the field, he sold it to Shimon. Now Levi goes and says to Reuven, you know what, I'm giving this field that you stole from me, I'm giving you as a gift. Would that ever happen in real life? I don't know. But of course, halacha does deal with the non-real, with situations that may never happen, because we have to talk about what the principle behind it is. Anyway, pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravin. So Rav Acha and Ravina argue what would happen in that case. One says a matona would be considered like a yerusha. We just said before that if Reuven inherited the property from Levi, then that doesn't confirm Shimon's ownership because it happens memela. So one between Rav Acha and Ravina says, well, obviously then the same thing. A matona is that he received a yerusha. Deha memela. After all, both of them have happened without him putting in any effort, and therefore, so there's no leku behim nose. There's no, he's not doing anything in order that Shimon should trust him, the same way as when he yashed it. So therefore, so he's entitled later on to go and tell Shimon, I want the field, and here's your money. The other one says that no, a gift would actually be considered like a sale in the sense that ilav de torach va'arzi kameh, because after all, what would motivate Levi in the first place, having had a field stolen from him by Reuven, to actually go and give it to him as a gift? De ilav de torach va'arzi kameh, if it weren't for Reuven, must have put in a lot of effort and done some kind of big favor or something for Levi to get him to do that. Loi have a yoiv lematona, then Levi wouldn't be giving him the matona in the first place. Lahochi torach va'arzi kameh. Therefore, we can assume that Reuven must have done some kind of major effort to get into to get on Levi's good side. He hated the lekum behem nosei, and therefore we have reason to say, why was he doing that? Why was he not just leaving well enough alone? Instead, he goes and then does big favors for Levi or something until Levi, out of gratitude, gives him the field. Well, then we can assume he did all of that because he was taking the longer term view, and he wanted to make sure that Shimon should be able to trust him in the future. Shimon, who had bought the field. So therefore, according to that opinion, when he received it as a matana, then we would say that that's considered like a sale, and therefore that he's confirming Shimon's ownership of it. Tosfos actually brings now before we had two reasons why he would want to do that. We had Rav Ashi's reason, which was Leikum Behemin Nose, which is what the Gemara is bringing over here. We also had Mar Zutra's reason before of learning to carry a Gazlana. He doesn't in the future want to be called a Gazlan. Here the Gemara is using only Rav Ashi's reason, says Tosfos, that's one proof that the halacha should be like Rav Ashi. Plus the fact, anyway, Rav Ashi is Basra, and he was Gadol v'Chochmo v'Minyan. Rav Ashi is later than Mazutra, and in general, we have the rule that from Abaya and Rava and on, the halacha is usually like the later opinion, because at that point, they were already collecting the material for the Gemara, and they were more familiar with what the earlier opinions had said, and if they're still arguing with it, it means that they're knowingly doing so. And also, Tosfos says Rav Ashi was greater b'chochma over minyan. He was the greatest of the chachamim of his times, and he had a bigger beis medrash who he would discuss and discuss things with. So therefore, so for all those reasons, the halacha would be like Rav Ashi in the discussion before, that the point is leikum behem nusay, that he always wants to be trustworthy in the future, and therefore we said that even, for example, when he himself received, so if he gave it as a matana, so even though he had given it, so we said before that if he gave it as a matana to Shimon, nevertheless he still wants to be trustworthy in the future, and therefore if he pays Levi for it, then it confirms Shimon's ownership. In the same vein, and then the Gemara is saying over here that when he himself received it as a matana from Levi, then the purpose of it is in order to confirm Shimon's ownership. So the Gemara asks, "Vad emas nichalei deleikum behemenosei?" Okay, until what point? How long after the theft do we assume that he's still looking leikum behemenosei to be trustworthy? In other words, we're not necessarily talking about that, you know, we don't mean, for example, he stole the field on Sunday, sold it on Monday, and on Tuesday is already going and paying Levi for it. We can be talking, there can be a considerable time in between. Up until what point do we say that he's doing it leikum behemenosei in order to be considered trustworthy in the future, versus in what case do we say that he's doing it because he wants the field for himself, and he realizes, you know, judicial proceedings are going on, Levi is soon going to get the field back, therefore I may as well preempt that and go and buy it from him. So up until what point in the process do we say that he wants leikum behemenosei? So Amar Rav Huna, shas ha-moda b'din. So Rav Huna says, up until the point where it goes to Beis Din. So meaning, in other words, that it goes through the entire process. So Levi ends up taking the property away from Shimon by proving that it really was his property and that it had been stolen from him, etc. Now Shimon takes Reuven to Beis Din and says, you sold me a stolen field. I want my money back. So then up to that point, is when if Reuven pays for it, then we say it confirms Shimon's ownership. But once it went to Beis Din, as Rashi says, Omad Berisho, he remained in his Rishus, up to the point where Shimon has to take him to Beis Din, then obviously he's already demonstrated that he's not a trustworthy person. And then if later on he pays Levi for that field, then it means that he wants the field himself rather than he wants to confirm Shimon as the owner of it. That's according to Rav Huna. Chia Barav says a later stage after the Hamad Abedin. The next stage is that Beis Din says to that. So Shimon takes Reuven to Beis Din. So eventually, Beis Din paskins based on the arguments and the proofs that are brought to Beis Din, and they say to Reuven, look, you know, you're chayev to pay Shimon. And if Reuven refuses to pay, then Beis Din writes out an adrachta, meaning a shtar that says to Shimon, you're entitled to go search for properties of Reuven's and go and find whatever you can, whether nechassim shabodim or nechassim nechorin, as the case may be, and go and then come back here to Beis Din, and we'll evaluate that property and we'll start the process of taking it away from Reuven. So according to Chiya Bar Rav, it's not enough that Reuven, that Shimon had to take Reuven to Beis Din. It would have to be that we actually got to the point of Shimon receiving an adrachta saying that he's entitled to go and seize property from Reuven. And only then, at that point, if Reuven only after that goes and pays Levi for the field, then we say it's not to confirm Shimon's ownership, but rather for himself to buy it. Because now that we went through such a large part of the process, then we can assume that he's not doing it in order for Shimon to trust him. Because at that point, already having gone through so much of the process, we can't assume that he would be trustworthy anyway. Why would he have waited so long? Must be because he wants the field for himself. Rashi points out, we learned in Bava Kamma, that that amount of time from the original Hamad of Adin until the Adrachta is a minimum of 90 days, generally, because we said, we learned in Bava Kamma, for 30 days he may be trying to borrow money, the next 30 days to pay what he owes Shimon. The next 30 days, he may be trying to sell to find a buyer for property that he wants to sell. And the last 30 days, he may have found a buyer, and that buyer himself is short of cash and is trying to raise the cash for it. So therefore, we have 90 days. We did say in Bava Kamma that if to begin with he says I'm not paying, then we don't necessarily need the 90 days because then obviously we don't need 30 days where he's looking around for money. So then we can write the adrachta right away. Anyway, Chiya Bar Rav is saying that only once the Adrachta reaches Shimon, then we can say, if now, after that, Reuven goes and pays Levi for the field, then he's obviously not doing it to confirm Shimon's ownership, but rather because he wants the field for himself. And Rapapa says, an even later stage, after the Adrachta is written, Shimon goes and finds a property of Reuven that's available to pay the debt, whether it belongs right now to Reuven or whether it's in the hands of a third party and is Nechasim Shabbatim, whatever. Shimon goes to Beis Din. They go, and then part of the process is that Beis Din does a public auction of the property in order to see who'll pay more for it, and then eventually we're going to the point is, in other words, Shimon, when the point is that in general, in a case when you're collecting when you're collecting property in payment of a debt, we don't just want to have that you're going to send experts to evaluate the property. We actually, what we do is we have a public auction and we see on the basis of that who's willing to pay more for it. And then if it's Shimon himself who's willing to pay the most, then he gets it for that amount. If not, then somebody else gets it and he pays Shimon his money. Anyway, so the Papa says only when we reach that stage in the process, then we say that now if Reuven bought it, then he means to keep it for himself. But at any earlier stage, Rapapa is saying, even after Hamad Abedin, even after the Adrachta, still we could say that Reuven decided at long last, you know what, I do want to be considered a trustworthy person. Let me go pay Levi for the field. And then the result would be that he's doing it in order to confirm Shimon's ownership. So the Gemara asks, "Maskeflo Rami Bachama." So now, let's revisit though this whole the whole basis of this matter. We're saying that Reuven is paying Levi for the field in order to confirm Shimon's ownership. So we're talking about Shimon had already bought it from him. But when we go back, when we said before that Rav had begun the whole thing after Shmuel had asked Rav, beginning the whole sugya, what happens if Reuven paid Levi for it? And Rav said, "Mam locha rishon l'sheni kol schus shetav liyadei." When one person sells somebody else a property, implicitly he's selling any schus that comes along with it. So maskif l'Rami Bachama. So Rami Bachama asks, "How is it? How would that even work? What's the mechanism by which that would work?" Mechti, let's consider. Hai lekeach b'may koni l'hayara. How is the lekeach in the first place acquiring the field? Bahai Shtara, he's acquiring it with a shtar, because you have three ways of paying, you have three ways of acquiring a field, Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka. And Tosfos points out that first of all, you could be talking about, in other words, the Rami Bachama's question is going to be that, let's say he hadn't even done a Chazaka on it yet, and as far as payment, either you could say it's a place where they don't consider the payment to be the valid method of kinyan. They write the shtar, and only then is the kinyan accomplished. Or that we would consider it a milveh, and therefore he wouldn't necessarily acquire with it. So Rami Bachama's question is basically the vehicle by which he's acquiring this field is a shtar. Well, high shtar a chas b'valmo, but the whole shtar is worthless because to begin with, the shtar says that Reuven sold Shimon a field that belongs to him. But what do you mean? Because at the time when he sold it to Shimon, it didn't belong to him. So the whole shtar is worthless. Now the Rashba points out, in effect, the Gemara already asked that question before. We started at the beginning of the sugya. We said, "My timer. Why does it work? Why do we assume that Reuven paying for the property is doing to confirm Shimon's ownership?" And we gave Razutras and Ravashi's reasons. So why is Rami Bachama bringing up the question again? So he explains that, look, to begin with, why would Levy be willing to that it's not just that Levy is accepting money from Reuven. Levy in effect is also machne the field to Shimon. He's thinking to himself, I'm giving the money, I'm accepting the money from Reuven, but I'm doing it in order to, for the reasons that we said before, in order to confirm Shimon's ownership of it, because Nemonus, or he shouldn't be considered a gazlan, or whichever reason. So now Rami Bar Chama is saying that, Rami Bar Chama is talking in particular about the case we had before, where it's not that Levi paid Reuven, it's not that Reuven paid Levi for it, but rather Reuven says to Levi, look, you owe me money, and now I'm taking this field, which previously I had stolen from you, in satisfaction of the debt. So now the question would be that, then how is he being koine? After all, the Shimon hadn't done any kinyan, all there is the shtar, and the shtar is worthless. And you can't say that Levi voluntarily is saying, okay, I'll accept the money and I'll do it on behalf of Shimon for Shimon to keep the property, because he's not accepting money. He's rather having a debt of his paid off, maybe even against his will. So the Rashba explains now that's particularly the case that Rami Bar Chama is asking about. So Omale Rava Tehei B'Mam Minavi. So Rava says, you're right. You would have to be talking this whole thing, this whole din that we're talking about, where he's paying Levi for the field, and the result is confirming Shimon's ownership, would have to be where, to begin with, Shimon says, when he buys the field, I trust you that you are going to make things right, that you're going to make sure that there's no problem with this, that there's no problem with this field. So he actually has to be saying that. Although there are Rishonim who learn that maybe actually he doesn't actually need to say it. The Rashba says that Yesh Meforshim, that in general when a person buys, it means that he's trusting that the Mocho sold it to him properly. Anyway, Bahu Hanad, like Omale Midi, the fact is there's a certain Hanah that, to begin with, Shimon didn't say anything to Reuven that I don't trust you, because Samech Alei, and just the opposite, that he's saying that I rely on you, Tarachu Maisilei. Therefore, because of that, we can assume that now when Reuven goes to the trouble of giving him the karka, then yeah, Gomor Machnilei, then therefore when he goes to the trouble of paying Levi for the field, we can assume he's doing it in order to confirm Shimon's ownership of it. In effect, Tosva says it's the equivalent of saying that this field, when I buy this field, then I'm going to sell it to you, which we're going to talk about on Omud Beis. There are certain cases where such a thing can work. So in effect, that's what Reuven is doing over here. He's saying Shimon, he's selling the field to Shimon. Right now, he knows that it's not his to sell, and that Levi may soon take it away from Shimon. But Shimon according to Rashi, again, Shimon is actually telling him, I'm trusting you that this is going to be a valid sale. So Reuven thinks to himself, you know what, if he's willing to trust me, then I should live up to that trust. Let me go and work things out with Levi. It would be the equivalent, in other words, of that, to begin with, when he sold it to Shimon, it would be the equivalent of saying, right now, I don't own this field yet, but as soon as I buy it from Levi, then I'm going to sell it to you. And that would work. And therefore, in that case, this works as well. That's the mechanism by which it works. Interesting thing worth mentioning in this connection. You have a story in Gemara Avodah Zarah where Rabbi Eliezer was brought up on charges in front of a Goyish judge. They accused him of minus, whatever. Anyway, so the judge says, what do you have to say for yourself? And Rabbi Eliezer says, I trust the judge, where he meant, I trust Hashem's judgment. Whatever happens to me, I accept Ba'ava. But the Goyish judge thought he was talking about him. And the judge says, you know what, since you showed that you're willing to accept whatever I say, then I'm going to show you clemency, and I'm going to drop the charges against you. And the Gemara tells the whole thing of what happened after that. Anyway, the point is that, so you have in a somewhat similar way. So there, the judge was so impressed that Rebbe Eliezer trusts him implicitly that he freed him. The same way over here, you can say Reuven is so impressed that Shimon trust him and says, I trust you to make everything right, that Reuven says to himself, you know what, I really should live up to that trust and I should do something about it. Okay. So the Gemara says, Masi Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes says, though, I have a contradiction to this. So you're telling me, in effect, that he's able that he's able to buy the field, even that he's able to validly sell the field even before he himself had bought it. And such a sale would work. And we're saying eventually when he goes and pays Levy for the field, then it confirms Shimon's ownership. So Rav Sheshet says, we have a braisa where a person says, Masha irash me abba mocher loch, where one person says to another, what I'm going to yaushin from my father, I'm now selling to you. Or mashatala mitsudosi mocher loch, or whatever fish my net catches, or whatever fish or birds or whatever my net catches, then I'm selling to you. Loya maklum. What he said doesn't count for anything because he hasn't yaushin it yet. So he's selling a dover shaloi baloilam. On the other hand, if he says mashi irish min abba hayoim mocher loch, but if he says what I'm going to yaushin for my father today, then I'm selling to you, meaning that his father is deathly ill and is soon going to pass away, and he expects to yaushin it today, or mashatala mitzudosi hayoim mocher loch, or whatever my net is going to catch today is sold to you, dvar of kayamin, then what he says is valid for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain soon. Anyway, the point is, so you see, you can't sell something that you don't have yet. So how does it work over here that Reuven is able to sell a field to Shimon that he doesn't own yet, and we're saying it's on the understanding that later on he's going to go and buy the field off Levi, and then it'll confirm Shimon's ownership. But the question is, how does this even work if he doesn't own it at the time? Wouldn't it be similar to the case of this braisa? Now, Tosfos points out, the fact is, we do have in other Gemaras where Reb Meir says that a person can be makna dover shaloi balayla. So why don't we say very simple? Rav's din before was appointed a mayor, and now the braisa that Reb Sheshet is quoting is talking according to the Chacham. So Tosfos says, you're right. The question is not so much on Rav. The question is rather on how we paskin the halacha. On the one hand, we say the halacha is like Rav. We're going to have it later on in our Masechta. We have an illustration of that. On the other hand, we also know that Einon Makna Dover Shaloi Bola Olam. So the question would be, how do we reconcile the Piske Halacha that we follow, where on the one hand a person can't be Makna Dover Shaloi Bola Olam, and on the other hand, this case of Rav's works, and when Reuven pays for the field, he confirms Shimon's ownership of it. So that would be the question. So Omar Rami Bachama Ha Gavra Hav Tiyuvda. So now Rami Bachama said, and he was very impressed, there's the man and there's the question. In other words, look, there's a great Talmud Chacham like Rav Sheshet, and he has a very great question. It's true, the Braisa is saying Lo Yom Maklum. So how does this fit with anything that we said in the sugya so far that Rav is saying that it would work? Omar Rava, but Rava was not so impressed. Gavra Kachazina, yes, I see the man. I know Rav Sheshet is a great Talmud Chacham. Kachazina, I don't see it to be such a strong question. In other words, in effect, Rashi explains, Rami Bachama is saying that there is a great man, and his tshuva, his upshlog is as great as him. So Rava is saying, no, Rav Sheshet himself is a great Talmud Chacham, but his question is not really as great as he is. There's actually a simple answer to the question. There's a difference of how definitive is the thing. In the case of selling what I'm going to inherit from my father, for example, so in the case of the stolen field, there is a smichus das. There is that the lekeach Shimon has reason to rely on Reuven, that Reuven is actually going to follow through and go and pay Levi for the property. As opposed to when he's buying in advance whatever Reuven is going to inherit from his father, who says he's going to inherit in the first place? Whatever the father could always sell the property to somebody else, and Reuven is never going to yaushin it in the first place. So that's the difference. In the case of a stolen field, we can say Shimon has a smichus das, the ozel torach maisilei, that he can assume that Reuven will in fact go to the tircha of going and bringing the money bringing the money to Levi and then confirming Shimon's ownership. In order that he shouldn't be called a gazlan, or as we said before, that he should be considered trustworthy. As opposed to when it comes to buying what he's going to yaushin in the future, there's no smichus das because who says to begin with that it's going to who says to begin with he's going to yaushin it. So the Gemara says, Shochul Kamed Rab Abba Bar Zavda. So they sent this whole question of Rav Sheshet to Rab Abba Bar Zavda to see what he has to say. Rab Adda bar Zavda answered them, this question does not need to be brought inside. So Rashi says two explanations on it. One is, in other words, Rab Abba bar Zavda is agreeing with Rami bar Chama. This is a sworn question. Nobody's going to be able to figure out an answer to it. So we may as well not even bother bringing it to the yeshiva because we're not going to get an answer to it. Then Rashi brings from a truva of the Goinim that says, on the contrary, it means Rab Abba bar Zavda is saying it's not a very good question. Don't even bother bringing it into the Beis Medrash because it's obviously not a very good question. On the other hand, Rava says you do have to bring it in, and even into the inner chambers. Yes, you have to bring it in, and you have to discuss it because there is the difference. Because you do have that difference between whether there's a smichus das or not. So according to Rashi's first explanation, Rav Adar bar Zavda had said it's a very difficult question. How could anybody possibly answer it? And Rava's saying there's a very simple distinction of what kind of smichus das there is. According to the second explanation, Rab Abba bar Zavda is saying the question is not even worth considering, and Rava says the question most certainly is worth considering, and then when you consider it, you'll realize the distinction between whether there was a smichus das or not. Ben Yehoyada, by the way, points out an interesting point about the expression lifnim v'lifnai lifnim. So he says like this: Rab Abba bar Zavda is saying it doesn't need lefnim, and Rava uses a triple expression lefnim v'lefnai v'lefnim. Ben Yehoyada says Rab Abba bar Zavda is saying you don't need any level of moichin to deal with this, not even das. And Rava is saying not only you need das, but you also need bina, and you even need chokhmah. You have to go through all the stages of seichel in order to be able to understand the question and the answer over here. So the Gemara says, Haba uvda b'Pumbedissa. Such a case actually happened in the city of Pumbedissa, and where they were going to paskin like Rav, exactly this kind of case where Levi had stolen, where Reuven had stolen a field from Levi, sold it to Shimon, and now paid Levi for it. So they paskin like Rav that he's doing it to confirm Shimon's ownership. And they brought up the same question that based on the Braisa about Masha Ira Shmei Abba, it shouldn't work. And Rabbi Yosef, like Rabbi Abba Zavda had said, there's no need to bring the question into the Beis Medrash, either because it's a powerful question and there's no way to resolve it, or on the contrary, it's a very weak question and there's no sense even discussing it. And Abaya said, like Rabbi, and Abaya says you do have to carefully consider it, and then you have to come up with the answer that there's a difference between whether some chadaite or not. So the Gemara asks, "Maishna Reisha, Maishna Sefer." What is actually the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer? Where was in of the Braisa, where we're saying that if he says whatever I'm going to inherit from my father, I'm selling to you as of now, and he said that doesn't work because the Davar Shaloi B'Olam. Versus when he says whatever I inherit from my father today, I'm selling you in advance. Why does that one work? Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Sefer Mashi Irish Me Abba Hayoyim Mishum Kvoid Ovim. What you're talking about is the covet of his father. The covet of his father is involved over here. Meaning, in other words, his father is goisis, his father is on the verge of death. So the son needs to urgently raise money for the burial on the Tahrichin. So now he doesn't want that his father should be left there in a bizoyan for any length of time. You're supposed to bury them, you're supposed to bury him as quickly as possible. So therefore, Midirabbanan was saying that if he says, what I'm going to inherit from my father today, meaning, in other words, he's saying, my father is on his deathbed, he's about to pass away soon. I want to sell you in advance some property that I expect to inherit from him because the reason would be because I need to raise money for the kvura and the tachrichim, then the chachamim are going to allow it. Similarly, mashatala mitzudosi ayoyim, when he says whatever my net pet is today, similarly, mishum kedei chayev, in order to make it possible for him to buy food for today. So again, the chachamim would say that even though normally it shouldn't work, but over here he needs a small amount of money just for food for today, so therefore, we're going to allow it. But in the case where we're saying whatever my net is going to catch for the entire next month or the entire next year, there's no kedei chayav. That's not something so urgent, and therefore, we're not going to allow the sale to go through because you can't sell davar shaloi b'olam. Okay. Another din. So now let's a din that relates to that. Omer of Huna Omer Rav. If Reuven says to Shimon, this field that in the future I'm going to buy, when I buy It's bought for you. It's acquired for you as of now. Then and meaning, in other words, that when I buy the field, automatically I'm gonna be selling it or giving it to you. And the point is, once I buy it from Levi, I'm not gonna. I'm pledging myself to not change my mind. Then so sort of Huna says Kona, then that is a valid Kenyan. And now, as soon as Reuven buys the field, we're not talking about a stolen field view necessarily. Here we're talking about in general. Reuven is saying that I plan to buy this field from Levi. And as soon as I do, so then that's valid. And as soon as he buys the field from Levi, does one of the three methods of Kenyan, then automatically it becomes Shimon. In fact, Tosfos wonders why he would even need to say Me'achshav. And Tosfos says, because let's say, for example, if the shtar was ripped up or lost before this shtar that he had written out to Shimon, or pledging with this pledge that he's gonna give it to him as soon as he buys it from Levi, if that shtar, let's say, is ripped up or lost before he has a chance to buy it from Levi, nevertheless, the deal would be valid because he said me'achshav. And then. In fact, the Rashba brings that there are Gersois of the Gemara who took out the word Me'achshav, because we're saying this poet is appointed a mayor, and appointed a mayor, that wouldn't matter. And the Rashba discusses and says, not necessarily so. So the Gemara says, Omer Rava, Mistabra Milsa de Rav, Besodestam. It's logical to say that Rav's din would apply when he's saying, when he says a field in general, he doesn't say a particular field. So then, in other words, Shimon has a strong reason to have a smichus das that in fact he is going to do it. After all, it means all Reuven is saying is, I'm going to buy some field from Levi. Levi has lots of fields. It won't be that hard to buy a particular field. To buy one field. So therefore, so Shimon can have a smichus das, and therefore it should be valid. But if to begin with, Reuven had said, this particular field that I plan to buy from Levi, Loi, then we wouldn't say that that's machneh to Shimon, because there's no smichus das. Who says that Levi is going to be willing to sell that particular field to Reuven? So Rava is saying, logically, Rav's din cannot apply to that case. But Rava says, but I swear in the Ebishter's name, Omer Rav afilu b'sodazu, that actually when Rav said his din, he was even referring to sodazu. Even when he says that I plan to buy this particular field from Reuven, and once I do, then the deal is I'm machner to you. In fact, Rav would hold his din even when he says sodazu. You're going to say there's no smichus das because let's consider Rav Kaman Omer L'Shmaite. According to which opinion did Rav say this statement? Could a mayor necessarily? He's saying like a mayor. Drama Odom Machna Dover Shalai Balaolam, where the mayor says that a person can be machna something that doesn't exist yet, and in this case, that is not in his reshus. And therefore, according to that, it wouldn't matter, as Rava is going to go point out, that it doesn't matter, therefore, whether it's soda zoo or whether it's a soda in general. Namely, the Tanya, we learn in a brisa, sapaho oimala isha, a man says to a woman, iskadshi la'achasha es gayer, so a goy gives kedushin to a woman and says, this kedushin should take effect after I become a ger. Or a Jewish man gives the kedushin to a goita and says, after you become a geyoris. Or la'achasha eshtachri, la'achasha deshtachri, an eved gives to a woman and says, it'll take effect after I become freed, or he gives it to a shivcha knanis after you become freed. Or la'achasha yomus bailach, he gives kedushin to a married woman and says, it'll take effect after your husband dies. Or la'achasha yachlitz loch yavamach, or after your yavam gives you chalitza. That one is a little more complicated because we learned all the way back in Yavamas, there's Machlokas, where the Kedushin are Tofsin by a Yavama, by a Shemeres Yavam. So our Braisa would have to be going according to the opinion that they do not. If you say that Kedushin are Tofus by a Shemeres Yavam, then it would be no different than any other Kedushin. He's also to marry her until she gets Chalitza, but nevertheless, the Kedushin would be valid. But here we're talking about according to the opinion that not. Anyway, or another case is, he says to his wife's sister, he gives her kedushin and says, this kedushin should take effect after your sister dies, because then after all, the sister becomes mutter to him. So in all those cases, Rameo Omer Mekudeshes, Reb Meir says it will be valid kiddushin because Adam Makna Dava Shalai Balaylam. So even though he himself is not capable of doing kiddushin yet because he's a goy, or she's not capable of receiving kiddushin yet because she's a goita, or any of the other cases that we said, Reb Meir says it doesn't matter. Nevertheless, when the circumstances change and the kiddushin are able to be chal, then Reb Meir holds that they're chal. So now continues Rava, v'ha'isha k'soda zudamya. After all these cases of kedushin are similar to soda zu, because it's also not up to them. In the case of the ger, for example, is Beis Din going to actually accept him as a ger with an eved or shifcha? Is the master actually going to free them, etc.? It depends on somebody else. And nevertheless, va'amar Rameyer mekudeshes. And still, Rameyer says that she's mekudeshes. So we see that Rameyer doesn't care whether the thing is in his hands to accomplish or not. So therefore, by the same token, then in the case of soda zu, it doesn't matter, even though it's not unilaterally up to Reuven, because Levi has to be willing to sell that particular field. Nevertheless, Rav would say, following Rameyer's opinion, that it's not that because Rameyer doesn't care about Dovah Shaloi Balaolam, and therefore it would work, and therefore Shimon would in fact acquire the field. Since in the end, the halacha is not like Rameyer, though, then the halacha is not like Rav in that either. And in that case, then if he says that when I buy this field, it'll be Knui Lachoma Achshav, in fact, the halacha is it does not work, and Shimon does not acquire the field. So all of this was kind of a digression over the last couple of days. We were talking about dinim of buying fields because we got into it by way of the whole matter of finding a lost shtar and dealing with whether there was a chrayus in the shtar or not. And that got us into all this back and forth about achrayus and about buying fields and reimbursing and so on and so forth. Now let's get back to the subject of this part of the parak, which is as far as finding shtaris. So the Gemara says, Omer Shmuel, hamotze shtar hakna b'shuk. A person finds a shtar hakna in the street, and we learned previously on Daf Yud Gimel that a shtar hakna is where to begin with. The shtar is written out. The loiva accepts on himself that once the shtar is signed, or according to Rav Asi over there, once it was delivered to the malva, then the shibud takes effect right away, even though the loan has not actually taken place yet. So he's already meshabed and he's already makne that what he has is meshubed to the loan even before the loan was actually taken out. So now Shmuel says, if you find such a shtar hakna bashuk in the street, yachzir labailim, then you return it to the owner, meaning to the malva. Rishonim point out the fact is that you're going to have to be mekayim it, so you can't collect with it anyway. Once you mekayim it, then there's no problem that it might be forged. But it's true that they could claim that it was forged, but after all, that's why they're going to need to be mekayim. So Shmuel says, why should you have to? There's no reason to be concerned. De imishum kosav lovus v'loilava. If you're going to say he might have had the shtar written and he didn't actually end up borrowing the money, no problem. Or shabed nafshe. The fact is, he was meshabed himself. That's what a shtar hakna is. So the shibud is already in effect. The imishum peroin. Are you concerned that he might have already paid back the shtar? No. Loi chashidim l'peroin. Shmuel says, as we learned this already earlier. That Shmuel is not concerned that the shtar may have been paid off. Deem isa depare, because after all, if it had been paid off, mikra have a korale, then he would have ripped up the shtar, and therefore, since the shtar is not ripped up, then Shmuel says we have no reason to be concerned that they may have paid it off. Now, we learned previously, we said Abaya was concerned about there might have been peron and there might be knunya, they might be playing a trick over here in order to take away from other lakuchas. Shmuel is not concerned about that. So, and the Gemara tells, Omer Rav Nachman, Abam in Safra de Yoni de Mar Shmuel Hava. Rav Nachman says, my father, we find in a few places in the Gemara that Rav Nachman's father's name was Yaakov. So Rav Nachman saying, his father, Rav Yaakov, min Safra de Yoni de Mar Shmuel Hava. He was one of the soifrim of the Beis Din of Shmuel. So he would be writing out court reports, he'd be writing out shtaris for the Beis Din, and so on and so forth. And Rav Nachman says, I remember when I was 6 or 7 years old, I remember that they would make an that they made an announcement in the Haudah where Shmuel was the Rosh Hashiva, and they announced exactly that. When you find a shtar hakna in the street, nadrinu lamarayhu, you should return it to the owner based on what Shmuel said. So not just Shmuel said this as a theoretical halacha, but he actually was announcing, he actually was having it announced in the streets of Haudah, this did. You see, by the way, the level of learning Torah and everything that they were doing in those days. Nowadays, you want to know such a thing, you would look it up in a sefer. You'd ask a rav one on one. You don't usually have public announcements made of such dinim. But here we're saying that Lahabdol and other places they'd be announcing the news or whatever. And here they're announcing a din in halacha that everybody needs to know. Rav Amram says, in fact, you see this late in a Mishnah, later on in our parak, where it says, "Kol ma'ase beistin harezi yachzir." Any ma'ase beistin, you should return. Now, presumably, ma'ase beistin means a shtar that has a henpik on it. Where we learned earlier in the parak that you bring a shtar to beistin for kiyum to validate the signatures, and then beistin writes a henpik on it that we checked it out and found these signatures and the shtar is valid, and they sign their names to it. That kind of thing is called a henpik. So Rav Amram assumes that kol ma'ase beistin means something that has a henpik written in it. So we see. Now, obviously, you're not mekayim the shtar unless the baal din is there. So obviously the shtar wasn't paid off. So the shtar is obviously not forged because they're mekayim it and it wasn't paid. Because if it was paid, then he would have said so at the time when they're mekayim it. So Rav Amram says, you see what it says, kol ma'ase beistin, that is a yachzir. So it obviously can't be that he would say, I didn't borrow yet or anything like that. Alma lechashin on the peroin. So obviously it's true. We're not concerned about payment because then the shtar would have been ripped out. On the other hand, Amale Rab Zera says that's not really a proof because masnisin b'shtorich chaltosav adrachta. Because you could say the ma'aseh beistin of that later Mishnah is not talking about a shtar that has a henpik on it. It means a shtar that to begin with, beistin wrote a shtar about something. Chaltosa would be the process. We talked before on Amud Aleph about the whole process of collecting from a Baal Choyv collecting. So there comes the point when he's found a property and they did the whole auction and everything, and now he's ready to take over the property and payment of the debt. So Beistin writes him out a shtori chaltosa, a shtar confirming his ownership of the property, or v'adrachta, or an adrachta, which is, as we said before, a shtar that gives him the right to start looking for properties and collecting. So we can be talking about one of those kinds of shtaris. Those shtaris are not something that you can talk about being paid or not, because once the shtar is written, he goes and uses the shtar for its purpose until he finds whatever it is. In the case of a chaltosa, then he keeps the shtar because that's his proof, that's his deed that he owns the property. In the case of an adrachta, so Tosfos asks actually a shtar adrachta. What do you mean? The fact is, eventually he's going to find some karka, and then they're going to write him out a shtar chaltosa. So the shtar adrachta is not a permanent thing, but still, Tosfos says, as soon as he has the adrachta, we have an opinion later on in Perek HaMafkid, as soon as he has the adrachta, he's already able to eat Paris. So now at that point, then the other guy can't say paraiti that I paid back, because then in that case, then he already has an adrachta and he's already eating Paris. So that would be what we mean over here by adrachta, is in other words, it's not relevant to talk about Peroin, because once he has the adrachta, he can already start eating Paris, and the other guy has no claim against him. So Rav Zera is saying the Mishnah can be talking about those kinds of shtaris, not necessarily a shtar that was Mekuyim by Beis Din, which would be a different matter. But Omar Rav Vahani Labne Peroin, you're telling me though that such shtaris cannot be paid off and then the shtar is returned. Don't the Chachamim of Nahodah say, we're going to have this also later in Perek HaMafkid, that once Beistin evaluated a property and said that the Malva can take it, that the Baal Choyv can take it, it can be returned until 12 months have passed. So in other words, Reuven had borrowed money from Shimon previously. Now he defaulted on the debt. So Shimon went to Beis Din, and eventually Beis Din went through the whole process with the Adrachta and Chaltosa and all of that, and they gave the property to Shimon. Now eventually Reuven raises enough money to be able to pay back Shimon. And so he says to Shimon, I want my land back. So the Nahar Doi say up to 12 months after it was taken away from him, he has the right to do that. But Omer Amemer, and Amemer says, I myself am from Nahar Doi, but I disagree with the other Chacham over there, or severely, and I hold the Shumah Hadar La'olam. And that can always be returned. So in other words, even if years later Reuven comes up with money, then he can go to Shimon and say, you know what, you only have this property because you took it from me in payment of my debt. But now that I have money to repay the debt, I'd like my property back. And according to Amemar, Reuven would have the right to do that. So that being the case, even a shtore chaltosa and adrocha and adrachta are not the last word on the subject, because you can always have that Reuven can pay him back and get back the field. So that being the case, then how can we say? So therefore, we can't say that the Mishnah later on is talking about shtore chaltosa v'adrachta only. It has to be, the Mishnah means any maisa based in, anything that went through based in hands. So yes, it will include those, but it will also include a regular shtar that based in was Mekayim. And we don't say with any of them that chashin and lepeiroin, that we're concerned about, that he may have paid it off and therefore you shouldn't be returning it to the malva. So that would bear out Rav Amram. So that would show that Rav Amram's proof from that later Mishnah is correct. So Ella Omar Rava. So no, Rava says like this. Hosam Hainu Taima. The reason is we are going to say like Rav Zeira that the later Mishnah is talking about specifically Shtari Chaltos of Adrachta, not a regular shtar that has a henpik on it. The difference is Hosam Taima to Amri. The reason is because we can say that why should we return to the shtar to the malva in the case of a Chaltos of Adrachta to Amri? We say Ihu de Afsi da Nafshe. After all, if he really did pay off, and now the shtar chaltosa should be invalid because now he gets back his field, or the shtar adrachta should be invalid because now Shimon has no right to go look for any other property of his. Look, you could say to be idna, then if he didn't get back the shtar, that was careless of him. To be idna de pare, as soon as he paid him, iboile le mikre the shtar. He should have right away gotten the shtar and ripped it up. Inami le michtav shtar achrina ilave. Or to write another shtar to say that he's buying back the karka that the other guy had taken. Because after all, Rava points out, the Medina Ara le Boilam Heder, if it were a matter of strict din, the Malva should not have to return the land at all. He should have every right to say, look, I got this land fair and square. Why should I be required to sell it back to you? The only reason why the Nahar Doi say up to 12 months, and Amema says anytime that Reuven is able to demand it back and get it back, is because the pasuk says you should go lefnim mishur hadin. So therefore, so who da omer rabban and teder? That's the only reason why the chachamim say you should return it. So to begin with, it's considered a whole new sale. So in that case, he should be writing out a new document of sale. So if he doesn't, and he lets the malva hold on to the shtar chaltosa or the shtar adrachta, then that's his own carelessness, and therefore that we're not concerned about it. But continues Rava, gabish shtar choiv. But when it comes to a shtar choiv, that's a whole different matter. Because Ma'ikal Meimar, so what are you going to say? Im Issa de Pare, you're going to say Im Issa de Pare Boilu Mikre L'Shtore. You're going to say that if he paid him, he should have ripped up the shtar, and you're going to say if the shtar is still intact, that itself shows it wasn't paid off. Not necessarily. You could argue that maybe in fact the loiva does demand the shtar back, and the malva evades him to Omale, and he says, listen, the mocho yehivnalach. I don't have it right now. I'll give it to you tomorrow. The hafta lesser gaboy. Right now, I don't have it with me. So it's very possible that Reuven might actually pay off Shimon, and yet he doesn't get back his shtar, not because Reuven was careless and forgot to ask for it, but because Shimon says, you know what, right now, I don't have the shtar. I'll give it to you later. And then meanwhile, in between, he drops it. And then how can we say then? So the question really is on Shmuel at this point. The question is, how can we say that loy chashin l'peiroin, it's one thing, shtore chaltos of adrachta. Like we said, there's very good reason to not be concerned about peiroin, because then he should immediately demand the shtar back, as soon as he gets back, as soon as he pays him the money and gets back the property. Whereas by a loiva and malva, you can't necessarily say that. Or he might say, I want to hold on to the, or the malva might say, I want to hold on to the document, because yes, you did pay me the actual loan, but nevertheless, there's also pshiti de safra. There's also the coins that you're supposed to pay the sofer. The din is that the loiva is supposed to pay the sofer for the shtar halva. Instead, what may happen is that the malva fronted the money for it, and now he adds that to what the loiva is supposed to be paying him. So now he's saying, fine, you paid me the halva, but you didn't yet pay me for the cost of writing the shtar, and therefore I'm holding on to the shtar until you pay that. Rashi explains the word zayir literally means to squeeze, to hold back. There's a lashon out we find a pasuk and we find a gemara that use this shodesh to mean to squeeze. So he may be squeezing and holding on to the shtar, saying, in other words, that I'm going to hold on to it until you actually pay me for the cost of writing the shtar. So this is a question on Shmuel. So in fact, we do have to say chayshin on the peroin. There is a good reason to say that in such cases we should be concerned that he may have actually paid it off, and therefore it's not so simple to say, like Shmuel said, that loy chayshin on the peroin, and we could go ahead and return it to the malva, because after all, there might be a good reason, at least with maybe not with a shtar chaltos of adrachta, but at least with a shtar choiv, to say that we shouldn't return it to the malva. So you do have that consideration that the Gemara is asking on Shmuel. Plus, we had the other day anyway. Even we are concerned about Peroin and Knunya. We're concerned that they may be playing a trick over there on some other unsuspecting buyer. So therefore, because of all of that, the halacha is not like Shmuel in this. And in fact, you don't return a shtar hakna either.